This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we're off. Welcome to the show for Friday, February 3rd, 2017. Nine games on tap tonight. I am your host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Before we start the show, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It'd be very much appreciated. Very easy to do. Do it while you're listening to the pod. And if you want to tweet me a little screenshot of you doing your review, then maybe the judge will find a way to, give you some VIP access to something. Although, I don't know what. I'll probably just, get you in chambers quicker or something. But I would appreciate it very much. Also, when I tweet out the show to the world, if you guys could retweet it, do the RT instead of the like. I know your initial thing is going to be to move your finger on the mouse pad over to that like button, but then stop yourself and say, no, the judge asked me to retweet. I shall retweet it. More listeners we get, better we do in the rankings, things like that. Then the sponsors shall come. The more sponsors we get, the more shows you will get. And I think you guys want more shows. We did five shows this week. I made it. I don't know how. Getting a late start tonight or this morning, whatever. It's 4:18 a.m. Dear God, I mean, five shows a week for me is brutal. And yeah, but we're gonna make it. I'm gonna get through the show. And yeah, so if I pass out or I fall asleep during the show, like Andre Drummond, like Gorgui Dieng, like Trevor Ariza, by the way, we'll get to him in Dream Killers. I mean, man, that guy threw my remote at least three times against the TV tonight solely because of him missing wide open threes. It's what a piece of you know what. Anyway, please download the lovely app Draft. And when you download it, please use the promo code DFBPOD. One day we're going to have to get that changed to like a promo code of judge. But right now, remember, it's DFBPOD. And when you do, let me know. And remember, most of you are downloading the app and you can't find out where to put that promo code. And since I downloaded the app a long time ago, I have no idea where to put it. I probably should find out for you guys. But I thought it was really easy when I did it. I swear, I really did. But if you cannot find out where it is, just tweet at me at DanielAGreen1 or email me dgcourtroomdfs.com. And then let me know what your username is on Draft. And then I'll hook you up. Make sure you get the deposit bonus. And yeah. Also, as you guys, I mentioned on the previous couple posts or podcasts that I am joining the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, which is very cool. And one of these shows, not today because it's a nine-game slate. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. And also, I think I want to get the Chris Axman, who kind of leads that network, on the pod one day. And he's currently under the weather. But one day, I'll go a little bit into that because that's very exciting. Where are we? So Chambers on – oh, no, my bad. Let's talk about the bracket tournament that's up on Draft. So as you guys hopefully know, if you've been listening to the show, we had we run Chambers, obviously, on FanDuel on DraftKings, but we also run it on the app Draft. We have the judges Chambers going up. There's a seven-day battle to the death. There were 128 spots, a $10 entry fee. By the way, this is how it's going to work for the foreseeable future. Every Wednesday, that is when the judges Chambers bracket on Draft will be unleashed. And then it will run 7 days. And until I think the finals will probably be on that Tuesday night. And there'll be another one posted on Wednesday. So every Wednesday or late Tuesday night, another judges Chambers is going to be. That's when they're going to be put up on the app. And I also will tweet out when that happens. But again, it's going to be either like every late Tuesday night or early Wednesday is when every judge of chambers, there's going to be, so only going to be one a week. But remember, it's a 7 day battle to the death, and it's ten. I think we're going to keep the $10 entry fee. You guys seem to think that's okay, so that's what we'll do. If you don't like that, you think it should be a lower entry fee, a higher entry fee, you want less people, let me know, and I will work with the people at Draft to make you guys happy. We had the round of 64 today. So a lot of you guys were tweeting at me, the people who advanced, and we have the round of 32 tomorrow. Keep me posted. I want to know who's in there, who keeps advancing, and who ultimately will take that down and win some pretty nice money. And remember, if you haven't downloaded the app, I'm not just saying to download it just because they're a sponsor. It is really cool. It's a snake draft. You get five players, two guards, two forwards, and a center. It takes like 2 minutes to do. It's just a nice little change of pace as you're getting ready for the grind of DFS every night. So in terms of the regular chambers that we have, where the greatest players in the DFS universe enter and try to compete against one another, we had one on DraftKings, only 35 people because it was a small slate, and we had three, as always, on FanDuel because the demand on FanDuel is just always insane. And the winners were, by the way, it was a big scoring night. Even though it's only 4 games late, every game ended up staying close when we thought there could be blowouts, and a couple of the value guys went nuts. And when that happens, and when you get chalk guys going nuts, that's when you have big scores. So I think I saw like three in the 380s took down the big GPPs, or even the single entry tournaments, quite honestly. Actually in the large GPPs, it may have been more than that. And even on DraftKings, scores like were in the, even in chambers, we had two or three scores in chambers in like the 360s. In DraftKings, which is, again, it's only 8 players. Now they do their weird. The only one thing I say about DraftKings that I do not like, I feel like I'm playing Donkey Kong sometimes. Like, what are these bonus points? You get a bonus point for a 3-pointer. You get a bonus point for a double double, a triple double. If someone ties their shoe during the game, if someone itches their crotch during the game, if someone gives you a high five, you get a bonus point. DraftKings, what's up with the bonus points? Like, I'm not a fan of this bonus schmonus. Like, I mean. Yeah, I don't like that. That's one thing that DraftKings drives me nuts. It's enough, like, you know, to be rooting for, you know, Kenneth Reed to get a garbage time rebound. I don't have to worry about him getting a double-double as well to get some Donkey Kong bonus point. It's just, I don't know. To me, that's a little much. I know DraftKings has always done it that way, but that's one thing I'm just not a fan of. Unless my player does get the bonus, then I'm down for it. But also, if you are playing DraftKings, and that's one thing, if you've been switching over to FanDuel and DraftKings, you obviously know the scoring system, because that does make a difference. If you're on the fence between two guys and you know you get some Donkey Kong bonus for a double-double or a super or whatever video game you want to choose, maybe you guys don't even know what Donkey Kong is. That was a long time ago. What, a Call of Duty? I guess it doesn't really make sense. Because I'm thinking like it would also mean you get like a sound effect also, like, you know, when you make the – when someone gets a double-double. Maybe Super Mario would work better. But – obviously, if you're torn between two guys, take the guy who's going to make some 3-pointers because you get a bonus for that, or take the guy who, you know, like a Westbrook who gets you a triple double, or someone like Rudy Gobert who gets double doubles every freaking night. It's a lock. So that should go into your thinking, and make sure you do understand that you do get Super Mario, Donkey Kong, whatever, these weird bonus points on DraftKings. Going back though to Chambers on FanDuel, the three winners, man, this username. It annoys me, I'm not going to lie. But I understand sometimes we make it and then we can't change it and we're stuck with it. But it's RS311311. Actually, I guess it's not, you know what? That's not that bad. Because it's just 311 twice, so I don't mind that. So RS311311. But it's his first time winning Chambers, so congrats to you. And you had the highest score of the night. Now, I don't know your Twitter handle, but that's a really nice score, so congrats. Also, Toss Carly, who's been a longtime follower and listener of mine, took down Chambers. He's really close. He's like always number 11 in the power rankings, which doesn't get really put up on the big board on the website. But he's had a good week, so I think he's going to enter the power rankings, which I hope to update on Friday. We'll see if I have time to do it, but definitely, if worst case, this weekend. And there's going to be a shakeup. You guys will see a shakeup all throughout there because it's been some guys have had really good weeks. Speaking of which, MG Fresh wins again, back-to-back win. I think it's his maybe third win of the week, maybe fourth win. I mean, I don't even know. Didn't have time to go back and see how many, but I think it's like now his 14th cash on the year, and he hasn't been playing Chambers as long as some of the veterans this year, some guys who have been in there every day. But he's very quickly now, I think he's got like the third most cashes. So Jeremiah, who's our number one ranked player, S-Cast, Fluckin' Fantasy, I Am Legend. There's going to be some company at the top when the power rankings come out, this guy's been on fire. So on DraftKings, Niner Nation took down the DraftKings Chambers with a score of 367. Just a monster score. I mean, that – like, I didn't play a ton on DraftKings because right now I'm playing a lot on FanDuel each night. So, like, I don't know if that would have taken down GPPs, single-entry tournaments, what that would have done. I would think a score like that, that's pretty freaking impressive, though. So – congrats to you. I mean, let me know if you played any other tournaments and if you made some serious money, because that's no joke of a score. I mean, only 8 players on DraftKings. And the same with Nelly Bixby 74 with a 361. Just a beautiful, glorious score. So congrats to you guys. That's beautiful. And Team Ninja Boot, who's been towards the top of the power rankings early on in our DraftKings, starting up DraftKings on Chambers with a 356. So three really good scores. I think on one of our Chambers on FanDuel, the cash line was like 337, and on DraftKings it was 356. That's just for the top three. But I mean, man, so it looks like on both sides we have it's no joke in there. I mean, man, just really good players, which is cool to see. On just some really impressive scores. All right, Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. Let me say this. Before the show today, I listened to another podcast, and I won't even mention which one. The judge likes to stay in the loop to see who's doing what. And let me tell you, it was horrible. And not saying that my podcast is great, because my podcast, but I'm trying to do a little, things a little bit differently. And hopefully, if you're listening to this podcast, you're being entertained as well. And I would listen to this thing, and I wanted to stab my eye. I wanted to stab my freaking eye. I'm still recovering from listening to this horrendous whatever the hell I listen to. So, like, if my podcast ever gets to the point where you guys are not being entertained, you better let me know, because then I will hang it up or I will change things around. Because, dear God, that was this should be a joy to listen to. It should not be a pain. Like, sometimes DFS can be a grind. It can be hard. Listening to this should be somewhat entertaining. And if it's not, you better let me know, because, man, what I just listened to, if you guys are listening to things like that, and if you know anyone listening to something that's just dry and just freaking excruciating, like, bring them over to the judge, because no one should have to suffer through that. Man, I want those 45 minutes of my life back. And again, maybe so. And if you like that, I guess you like that. But and a lot of other podcasts seem to me all kind of to be the same. But hopefully, you've noticed that I'm trying to do something a little bit different here. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. That's cool. But hopefully, you are, again, I'm trying to entertain you as well as obviously watching the games, giving you the info, and ultimately achieving glory, because we're trying to make some money. Gosh darn it! But man, I just could not believe the crap that I had to put myself through. And I just do not want you guys to be doing that when you're listening to this. Dear God, just stab me in the freaking eye. Anyway, I digress. Dream Killers. Man, so that – it was actually for a 4-game slate. It was somewhat intriguing. All the games, like I said, they stayed relatively close. I'm not sure how much you made it through, because – one thing when there are short slates, I do wish that the games can be somewhat not done. What's the easy way to say this? Condensed better, just not spread out. I mean, having like the 10:30 game tonight sucked, because not knowing who wins until 1 a.m. I know a lot of us, especially on the East Coast, can't stay up and watch the end of the games. I mean, we got to go. We have real life, and we have to go to work. So it would have been, sometimes it's cool on a 4-game slate if you can basically know the winners by like 10:30 p.m., by 10 p.m., by even 11 p.m. Eastern. But because that last, the Golden State game was 10:30 p.m., you didn't really know. And that game stayed close. And guys, of course, like Curry and Durant had really good games. Winners you really didn't know until 1 a.m. So a lot of you, I know, each day wake up to find out how you did. You have really, you see your score when you go to bed, but you have no idea if that's going to hold up, especially when you have a really enticing game going late. But speaking back to Dream Killers, so one of the games was Houston-Atlanta. This game turned out to be super exciting if you're watching just like a fan perspective. If you played guys in this game, everyone basically was a chump. If you played Millsap, you were infuriated. How can you not destroy Ryan freaking Anderson, who has no desire to play defense, who just standing around the three-point line, I don't think he's going to fall asleep on the court, but I'm pretty sure he's daydreaming half the game. And half of the game when he's on defense, he's daydreaming. He's not invested at all. It's embarrassing. So Paul Millsap getting like 25 Vandal points. Also, I'm not sure. I think I missed part of this game. So I don't know if he got in foul trouble. So I know he ended up with four fouls, but he only played like 26 minutes or something like that. And that's why Mike freaking Muscala basically almost had the same amount of Vandal points as Paul Millsap. But Paul Millsap not going nuts, playing way up in pace against Houston, attacking Ryan Anderson, made me so freaking pissed. And he was at a pretty good ownership level. He could have been a soul crusher, quite honestly. Super disappointing. Same team, same game. Dennis Schroeder, man, it's just he's so bad defensively. This game, another guy didn't play a ton of minutes. Basically got benched, couldn't make a shot. Super frustrating. And Millsap and Schroeder, those two guys together. Hopefully tonight they're banished. If I could put them, in my chambers, I would put them in some type of solitary confinement, some type of cell, where I'd have to bail it, basically urinate on them because just a disgusting game from those two. And Schroeder was he was a great tournament play, really low owns, got a really good usage rate, playing way up in pace, and just completely did not work out. Same kind of thing with DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan was like 6% owned. He was the highest priced center. Everyone in the world went value center, which it did make sense on this slate. There were like 8 million value centers you could go with. You had Dead Man Walking. I mean, yeah, you had basically every game you had like two or three value centers, so it made sense. But DeAndre Jordan, and this is where Doc Rivers is a little piece of you know what as well, because the Clippers get beat by Golden State every time they play. They get destroyed every time they play. Draymond was out. I want to see Doc Rivers just go big and stay big. Just pound them inside. Let DeAndre Jordan grab every rebound. I mean, Golden State basically was playing Durant at the four. They started Durant at the four, and he was playing the five a lot of the game. JaVale McGee was playing. JaVale McGee got like 20, whatever, a little over 20 minutes. So, but DeAndre Jordan played around 25 minutes. He sucked. He did nothing. Doc Rivers went small because he's a wuss, and he tried to match Golden State. If you watched like the first 3 to 4 minutes of that game, you knew they weren't going to win, quite honestly. Golden State was up double digits at the half like they always are. The Clippers kept it reasonably close. There were like three games where that happened. Philly kept it reasonably close, and the Lakers kept it reasonably close too. But you knew in each of those games, those teams had zero chance to actually win. So I just wish the Doc Rivers one time, change up your philosophy. Just go big. I don't know why more teams don't do it. We have seen teams have success going big against Golden State. Now, would that probably work either? Probably not, but so what? You're not going to beat them going small. But no, you got to play your son, 40 minutes and let him take 38 shots. So DeAndre Jordan was a monster disappointment. It's 6% owned. Man, if he could have came through tonight, it would have been beautiful. Trevor Ariza, I'm getting really tired of playing him. Have you guys noticed how long it takes him to wind up and take a three-pointer? It takes him like 17 seconds to get off a shot. I'm pretty sure he will one day soon like start his wind up to take a shot and then just fall asleep in the middle of it. And the result will be the same. It'd be a miss either way. It's just he bricks every wide open shot. Everyone from Houston couldn't shoot. I mean, Anderson, Gordon, they all were a mess on this slate. Harden was the only guy from Harden and Clint Capella were the only guys that really showed up and played well for Houston. So Ryan Anderson, also a dream killer. Kelly Oubre, I thought this was a good play, especially if Washington was able to blow out the Lakers, which they should have. There were like numerous times throughout the course of the game where they were on the verge and then they just let the Lakers hang around. Kelly Oubre still got 24 minutes. He just did nothing in those 24 minutes. It was pretty frustrating if you're watching it. He had a couple shots go in and out. Didn't take a lot of shots because he does have somewhat of the Otto Porter role. not a huge usage rate. But in 24 minutes at his price against the Lakers, you still thought he should have stumbled, bumbled, and fumbled into around 20 fandom points. He didn't even come close. So really just disappointing. I did see tons of people, including me, I end up having in some lineups still putting up 330, 335, 340, even with the Kelly Oubre in your lineup, if you had the right other guys. And remember, that's one reason why you play these bums, not only for what the bums produce, but what do the bums allow you to do with the rest of your lineup. Kent Bazemore, I mean, God forbid he could have a good game. He's going to at some point, because he's at Magic Mountain. But when he's bad, he's really bad. I was surprised he even got to 20 fandom points, so whatever. Nick Young, he went back to sucking. He missed every three he took. Kawhi Leonard, I have him as a dream killer, because if you played him over like a Durant, it didn't work out. And he only got 25 minutes. He did well. He played. He had 40 fandom points. But Popovich knew there was no way Philly, without Embiid, without Noel, was going to beat the Spurs. So Pop went crazy with his lineup, was playing dudes like Bertans, Furtans, Mertans, Lertans, Squirtans. Have you seen this guy's picture? Just Google Bertans. I mean, man, like you could not make up what this guy looks like. Anyway, this guy came in and made, of course, made every shot, because that's what everyone on the Spurs does. Dude picks up people off the street. Basically, it's similar to like New England Patriot wide receivers. That's what Popovich does with like any one of his players. He gets these weird looking dudes. They come in and they make everything. So Kawhi was a dream killer, because he basically had to outscore Durant, and he did not come close. And Zubac, you tried to play Zubac. Luke Walton said he's going to reward Zubac. What was his reward? 11 minutes. Thanks, Luke Walton. How many minutes did Tariq Black get? Like 25. Luke Walton, NASA genius. Dream lovers? Lots of dream lovers on this. Only four games, but man, I mean, still, there's always so many dream killers and so many dream lovers. D'Angelo Russell, he was excellent. He had like 40 fandom points, and quite honestly, I thought he was going to get me like 50, 55, 60. The problem was, in that fourth quarter, man, like when Lou Williams wants to shoot the ball, he won't even look at you. He won't sniff in your way. I mean, he is going to shoot every freaking time. So there were like 10, 11, 12 straight possessions in the fourth quarter. And also there was a stretch for the Lakers bench, because Luke Walton plays his bench a ton, where the bench had like 25, 30 straight points. So Russell didn't touch the ball for such a large stretch, and he was playing so well too. It really sucked. In the fourth quarter, I don't know how many fandom points he had. It could not have been a lot at all. But he still was a dream lover for his price. I put up, seven times value, eight times value. John Wall, he was overpriced, but against the Lakers, because the Lakers kept that game close. I mean, every wizard, and this is what I said in the podcast yesterday, and it came through again. Every wizard basically hit value. I mean, Wall did, Beal did. Otto might have fallen a little bit short, but he played pretty well. Markieff came through again, and Markieff shot like 3 for 15. But again, he's been like, this is what I mentioned yesterday. He's been rebounding out of his mind. So he had like over 10 rebounds again, and he still put up like 35 fandom points. If he would have made shots, he would have had 50 fandom points, Markieff. And then Gortat was just a layup line for everyone in that game. So Gortat had a monster game too. Every center on the slate except DeAndre Jordan went nuts. Every freaking one. It was unbelievable and super annoying, quite honestly, because just when you thought you had a good play at center, another center went nuts, and then another center, and then another center. And finally you throw your remote against the TV, it breaks in half, and you can't watch any more games. By the way, my one fear of throwing the remote against the TV is, what happens if it does break? Because I don't know, without a remote, like, can you change the channel anymore if you're just going up to the TV? Like, how does that work? I have no idea, right? Because I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess our parents and grandparents, that they grew up in a time when you actually had to go and like turn a knob, right? Can you imagine that? Like, how would we have survived turning a knob? Like, whenever we want to change the freaking channel, that must have been just excruciating. Dream killer. What do you call that? A knob? A knob is a dream killer. So when you're throwing the remote, just be a little careful, because you can't break the remote. That's so you gotta have. Yeah, I mean, you have to remember, when you're throwing it, yeah, aim for a soft spot. Either have like a, like mine is pretty cushioned up, So, and I know how to throw it by now, so it's not going to break. It's a skill, my friends. So I mentioned John Wall was a dream lover. Tim Hardaway Jr., he was one of the keys to you needed every winning lineup. You needed him. He was only about 16% owned in my single entry tournaments, especially because I thought Sefolosha wasn't going to play. So I used Hardaway on Wednesday. He did not play well, but I still thought playing way up in pace. I knew either one of him or Bazemore was going to go off. I rostered, unfortunately, both in a lot of lineups. Hardaway, though, was phenomenal. His fourth quarter, if you just go like, YouTube it or put it in Google or whatever, he was tremendous. Then he had a career high in actual points, and most of those were all coming in the fourth quarter. Had a really sweet dunk late in the game. Had the winning basket. He was sensational. I think he had the winning basket. I think it was him. James Harden, he was still good for Houston. He was the only guy who really showed up. It was a shame. They just could. This happens to them. Some days they take so many threes, and if they're not making their shots, they can be in trouble. And that's what happened on Wednesday. Stephen Durant for the stupid Warriors. To me, they're always dream killers, especially Durant for going there. That game against the Clippers stayed relatively close, even though they basically were up by 17, 18, 19 large stretches. Stephen Durant both played 37, 38 minutes, and they both had over 50 fandom points, I think, and they were in a lot of winning lineups. Ersan Ilyasova. So if you played Ersan, it worked out, so congrats. I did not like the play on this slate because I thought Philly was going to get blitzed by the Spurs. And plus, before lineup block, Nerlens was going to play. And then after lineup block, we found out that Nerlens was going to be out. And I just thought there's a log jam there with Okafor, Noel, Ersan, Saric. I thought they're all going to get around 22 to 26 minutes. So neither of them are really – great play. I like Saric's price, so I had a lot of Saric. But then once Noel was ruled out, then you thought, wow, if Philly keeps that game close, Ersan could go nuts, and that's what happened. So Nerland was ruled out. Thanks for telling us that news, guys. Dream killers for Sixers media or whoever is in charge of giving us that information. But so yeah, Ersan ended up having a phenomenal night. He played 38 minutes, and that when he's always a fantasy point per minute monster. If he gets minutes, he will crush. So yeah, he was great. And what was interesting is that Saric was pretty good. Now, granted, also Saric had to deal with Kawhi Leonard, as many of you reminded me immediately on Twitter that he had to deal with Kawhi guarding him. But Saric at his price. That didn't worry me too much because I figured if you're the San Antonio, why would you have Kawhi guard Saric? You put him on anyone on the Sixers. Granted, they don't have anyone who's really good offensively without Embiid. But I thought he would guard a bunch of different people. And plus, I didn't expect Kawhi to play a ton of minutes, and I thought it'd be a blowout. So I thought Saric would easily stumble and bumble and fumble into 20 fandom points, which he did. And he could have got a ton more. He just shot 5 of 17 from the field. He took a ton of shots. Ersan got 17 shots too. Ersan just made his. Saric came through for us, but just because Ersan was so much better, Saric could not be a dream lover. David Lee didn't get the start. They started Lertans, but David Lee still was great because Philly is atrocious defensively, especially without Noel and without Embiid. As well as Ersan plays offensively, he's atrocious defensively, which is one reason why in a lot of places he goes to, he doesn't get a lot of minutes. So David Lee was a dream lover. Dwight Howard, man. So of course him and Millsap both can't have good nights on the good games in the same night, but he was phenomenal. And it was a revenge game for him. And that stuff does matter in the NBA. The NBA is one sport where, narratives do occasionally carry over into the actual real game. Because if you have guys who sometimes are just not interested, tin men, NBA, look, the NBA is a grind. It's 82 games. Some games, the energy level is just not there, especially for the older players. But Dwight was clearly motivated against Houston. Remember, when he was there, that did not go well. And he had a great game. And he was a dream lover for sure. Iguodala, he wasn't great. He just played enough to stumble, bumble into around 25 to 30 fandom points. And at his price, that's what you need. That's what, you know, on some slates, that's all you need from a guy like that. I mentioned Muscala, just disgusting. Cause man, there was, this, I don't know if you guys remember about a month ago, 2 months ago, he was like chalk for a couple nights where he was a really good play when Millsap was out, and he sucked basically every night that Millsap didn't play. So of course he got 22 minutes tonight and crushed it. But no, I mean, that was almost impossible to predict. Dead man walking for the Spurs. He was great. He's always a fantasy point per minute guy. Popovich never gives him a ton of minutes. Even on this slate, he only got like 22 minutes. Gave us 30 FanDuel points. He was tremendous. Luol Deng, forgotten man. I did have a couple lineups with Deng, and those are some of my best lineups of the night. He played like 32 minutes and was really good against Washington. I think I had him in like 6% owned or something like that. So that came through for me. And then Bertans, if you played him, I sure as hell didn't. I never even heard of that guy. So if you play him, if you really played him, you tweet me a screenshot of you actually showing me a lineup with a Bertans. And then, yeah, I'd be impressed. All right, injury news for Friday. It's a large slate. DeMar DeRozan, that's the biggest one for me. As you guys should hopefully know by now, if he's out, Lowry, monster usage rate, Powell should be a lock. Although I think FanDuel finally raised his price, although he's still reasonably priced on FanDuel. And then Terrence Ross is a decent tournament play. Rodney Stuckey is still out with an ankle sprain. Nene is going to rest on a back-to-back. So Clint Capella, maybe Harrell gets some run. Avery Bradley is still, looks like he's still out with this Achilles. I mean, man. So Isaiah Thomas has been on one of the most unbelievable stretches I've ever seen. It's just what he's doing right now, like offensively, it's pretty impressive. I'd recommend if you haven't watched a Boston game lately, just watch to see what that guy's doing. It's pretty fun. He's so little, and like to see him attack the rim so ferociously, and he can finish at the rim pretty well too. It's impressive to go up against 7-footers like that. How about this trade? Did you guys see this freaking trade that Charlotte and the Bucks made? So Charlotte traded Spencer Hawes, or no, Milwaukee? Yeah, Charlotte traded Spencer Hawes and Roy Hibbert to Milwaukee. So Milwaukee, Jason Kidd already didn't know who to play for his big men. And he would troll us with Monroe and Henson and Plumlee. Anyway, Charlotte got Plumlee for Hawes and Hibbert. So now the Bucks have Hawes, Hibbert, Henson, and Monroe. Jason Kidd's going to kill us. Honestly, he may murder us. Like, I don't know what the hell to make of this. Kidd now has four centers to basically give, 12 minutes to every night? And I could see him doing that. He could just play one a quarter. How about that would not surprise me one bit. That's something like Rick Carlisle would do. Just play one a quarter and mix it up every game. We never know who's going to play what quarter. It's just unbelievable. That trade made zero sense to me from either team. I don't get it. I don't understand that at all. Now, I'm in Plumlee, first of all, now Charlotte has a Plumlee and a Zeller on the same team. Mind blown. That should not be allowed. A Plumlee and a Zeller? Jesus Christ. If they ever have like a family day, you know, the Hornets, it's going to be just Zellers and Plumlees. There's 38 of them. Just that trade. If anyone can explain that trade to me, I'd love to hear it because I don't get it. Will Barton. So Denver's really banged up right now. Will Barton's got the ankle. Mounier's got back pain. Jokic still has dealing with the hip. Wilson Chandler wants to be traded. So Denver's kind of a mess right now. Gallinari is going to be out with his groin injury. So, man, as long as Wilson Chandler isn't traded tomorrow on Thursday – or on Friday, sorry, he's going to be a great play. And you, I mean, all the basically whoever's going to be healthy for Denver is going to be in play on this slate. He got Bogut out with a hamstring, and Darren Williams still dealing with this great toe sprain. What does that even mean, basketball monster? Great toe sprain. I guess it must mean this is the big toe, right? Are they calling it the great toe? Never heard that before. I always refer to it just as the big toe. So you know, hashtag Yogi Bear probably going to be in play. All right, quick trip to Vegas. Let's do it. So there's some overrunners aren't up on the board yet. The Denver game is not because there's 17 injuries, but Milwaukee's playing Denver. So that game is going to be intriguing. All the Denver guys, all six of them that are healthy should be in play. Gary Harris, Jameer Nelson, Wilson Chandler, Kenneth Fareed, probably anyone except Nurkic, who keeps killing us. So the best game in terms of over-under is Chicago-Houston 223, which is bizarre. I think that's the first time all year I've seen the best game of the night in terms of over-under have Chicago in it. Like, I'm pretty sure that's never happened. Also, normally Vegas kind of takes the two teams and kind of puts the average together. So this I thought this game would have about a 212 over-under, 213 maybe. But so 223 seems a little high for that. But hey, it's Vegas, and they're smarter than me. Granted, they've been wrong a lot this year too. But Bulls playing way up in pace. So, man, I like a lot of Bulls in this game. Houston's coming on off of back-to-back off that really bad loss against Atlanta too. So that's going to be a really super fun game to watch and to have a game stack too. Remember, when you get teams playing way up in pace, then you're getting them at really huge bargains because you're getting them with an extra 20, 30, 40 possessions. And they're priced down based on their, you know, let's say they get, you know, 80 possessions a game. Now they're getting 120 possessions or something like that. So they're, I mean, you're getting all the Bulls at bargain price, especially guys like a Robin Lopez, Gibson, especially the guys who are already super low, bargain plays. Let's see. Lakers, Boston. This game, if there's one blowout on the slate, this to me would be it. Lakers, they played hard against Washington. They kept that game close. Boston's been playing well. So Lakers on a back-to-back going to Boston. I could see Boston just blitzing them right out of the building. I saw Boston do that a couple days ago. I think a couple games ago, too. I think it was Atlanta. I don't remember the team now. I've seen them do that a couple times this year. That's not an easy place to play. So that game worries me in terms of blowout. So for cash games, I'm not sure how much exposure I want to anyone in that game. But for tournaments, yeah, absolutely. Then you got Indiana-Brooklyn. 220 and a half over under. Two teams that wouldn't know how to play defense if they tried. So that should be a fun little game. You could stack that game. Phoenix, Sacramento, same thing. Two teams that play zero defense. And for Sacramento, Sacramento's playing way up in pace. So kind of same thing I said about Chicago. You can say the same thing just about Sacramento. A couple bad games in terms of over under. You get two. Dallas, Portland, 206 over under. That's a pretty disgusting game. And then you have Memphis, OKC. I feel like Memphis has played OKC like 40 times this year. I feel like I've said it a million times, Westbrook and Conley. That's happening again. Do I really want anyone in cash in that game? I mean, you could want, yeah, I mean, not really. All right, yeah, so teams playing up in pace, like I said, Bulls, big up in pace. Sacramento, really big up in pace. Detroit, a little bit up in pace. They're playing Minnesota with a 210 over-under. Memphis, a little bit versus OKC. Milwaukee, a little bit versus Denver. Milwaukee, actually, a decent amount against Denver. And that's about it. All right, let's hop into the plays. Nine games late. Lots to talk about. I'm getting tired. Man, all right, point guard, it's loaded as usual. Westbrook is in play and Harden on this slate. Now, as you guys probably know, if you've been playing DFS, if you've been listening to me, on these large slates, if you look at the winning lineups on most nights, you don't need to have the guys who are 12K in your lineup. Now, can you do it? Of course. I mean, they're exceptional, the best players in the NBA. But you don't have to do it. And there's value galore at almost every position. So is what, and that also, when you look at a guy like Westbrook, he's not playing Memphis. Well, am I going to play Westbrook in cash? I am not going to on Friday. For tournaments, can you do it? Yes, that's how you can win a tournament. You play Westbrook in a slow-paced game on a large slate when he's going to be low-owned. This will be one of those times. And just looking back, he has played Memphis, I guess it's only twice this year. The first time is 25 Fando points. It was a disaster. OKC got destroyed. The second time, he put up 58 Fando points. So if he puts up like 58 on a slate like this, that's not going to be enough to win a tournament. For a cash game, would that be enough? Could he still cash? Maybe. But for a tournament, that wouldn't be enough to take it down. And if you remember, if you play a tournament, your goal should be to win it because the payouts are so top heavy. So, you know, you need to have the right mentality when you're building lineups. I didn't talk about doing consultations. If you want a consultation with me, let me know. That's one of the main things that we talk about is just strategy, roster construction, and I beat into your head the difference in philosophies between playing cash games, playing single entry tournaments, and playing these large GPPs where the pros are throwing in 150, 200 lineups, creating accounts for their wife, for their brother, for their mother-in-law, father-in-law, so they can throw in 500 lineups and scam the system. So we have to attack, each contest. We have to have a different mindset. So Westbrook, not a cash game. You don't need him for cash. But if you want to do it in tournaments, sure. Isaiah Thomas, 10.5K. To me, he's not going to be a cash game player. He's been tremendous. He's averaged almost 30 actual points a game now. The usage rate's phenomenal. It's close to 35% lately, especially it takes a bump, gets a nice bump without Avery Bradley. Once Avery Bradley comes back, it'll be interesting to see. I think he's going to take a little hit in his numbers and usage. But he's been great. He's had over 20 actual points in like 1,000 straight games now. One of my favorite players to watch. But I think they're going to blow out the Lakers. And do I want to spend 10.5K? And he is still a one-trick pony. So do I want to do it? No. But will I have a game stack of this game and play him in some tournaments? Absolutely, I will. I mean, he's playing phenomenal right now. Kyle Lowry, the problem here is, so Lowry's been, he's priced up like DeMar's not playing. So if DeMar plays, I don't know if I can play Lowry at 9.6K in cash games. That's really freaking expensive. If DeMar is out, I think it's fine. I think he's going to give you, he's got like a floor of 40, a ceiling of something like 60. Toronto at Orlando, so playing down in pace. I don't love the matchup in terms of pace. I do love Elfrid Payton defense. Elfrid Payton, he's a tin man. He's a Magic Mountain guy. He is so disengaged some games. He's just worried about his hair. And what is going on with his hair? It just flops around. I mean, it's just like, what the hell is that? I don't even know how you prepare that. Does he put gel in that also? I don't know. But so individual matchup, like a defensive first position, Lowry's in a good spot. So if DeMar is out, I think Lowry's safe for all formats. If DeMar plays, then I don't know if I want to pay 9.6K for cash games. Eric Bledsoe, 9.5K. He's been another guy. He's been great. He's somewhat reverted back to Magic Mountain status. But I think some of that has to do with the blow, a couple games where one was a blowout and one was a foul trouble for him. So he's not cheap. We're paying for it. I mean, Sacramento, you can attack them. You can attack their guards. I mean, Collison's not a great defender. But this is expensive too. I just prefer other guys for cash. If you want to go that route in a tournament, you definitely can do it. But I still like for cash games, give me Lowry, especially if DeMar's out. Lowry's a much safer play, in my opinion. Damian Lillard, 8.4K. The problem here is Portland's playing way down in pace against Dallas. Lillard's going to get some Yogi Bear defense. But if I had to choose between Bledsoe and Lillard for cash, give me Lillard. I mean, Lillard is a bargain at that price. He really is. Plus, I do think Dallas with the young guys, with Darren Williams out, their pace can get a little better with Seth Curry and Yogi Bear running the show there. I mean, Lillard has a floor of 30, 35 fan points. He hasn't shown us a ceiling lately, so he's basically living in a house without a ceiling. If he ever would actually show up to be a game and wouldn't be a tin man himself, he could give you 50. So I think this is just a nice, safe cash game play. I don't mind it for tournaments because remember, me up for tournaments, I'm looking to win the tournament. He's going to be low owned. Also, I want to get in the guy a day early. So he hasn't yet exploded. He's going to have a game where he gives you 50 fandom points. It's going to happen. He's just too good of a player. So it's not going to, to keep putting up 35 fandom points. So right now it screams cash game play only, but me, I will throw him in some tournaments. Cause I think he does have upside. Mike Conley, safe for all formats on this slate. Playing OKC, the price is fair. I think he's got a floor similar to Lillard's, around 30, 35, up in pace. Westbrook does not play any defense. This game should stay close. So, yeah, I mean, and he's like $3,000 cheaper than Isaiah Thomas. So, yeah, safe for all formats. And could he end up with the same amount of FanDuel points as Isaiah Thomas? Sure, especially if Boston blows out the Lakers. Absolutely. Jeff Teague. So Indiana plays Brooklyn. So just because of that, could you roll out Teague in cash games? I guess on a 9-game slate, I'd still be a little bit nervous. But is he in an elite spot for tournaments? Absolutely. Everyone against Brooklyn is always in an elite spot for tournament. Guys like Teague, Paul George, Miles Turner, even Thaddeus Young, CJ Miles. I'll just say the name. So if you want to Google it, you can. Everyone for Indiana, great tournament plays. Ricky Rubio, 6.9K versus Detroit. I'm still not sure what to do here. I don't like this price at 6.9K. I think that's he's been fine lately. He's been actually pretty good. The assists are the main thing that draw me, obviously, to Rubio because he's not much of a scorer. But the actual points have been somewhat impressive. He's been shooting the ball a little bit more and a little bit better lately. So now he gets Detroit. He gets Reggie Jackson or Ish Smith defense. Detroit is kind of a weird team to watch play. Not really sure what to make of them. I think Rubio is relatively safe. To me, it's a little bit too expensive, though. So I'd probably just prefer to pay up for a guy like a Conley, a guy like Lillard, even Teague against Brooklyn, probably on this slate. So single entry tournaments, though, and GPPs, yeah. I mean, you can roll out Rubio, and then I think a really nice combo is a Rubio Towns combo because Rubio is getting so many assists these days. A lot are going to Towns, and Towns gets the ultimate man who's sleeping right now, will be sleeping during the game tomorrow. That's Drummond. Drummond has regressed offensively. He's regressed defensively. He's regressed in his sleep patterns. So Towns is in an elite spot for Friday. Alfred Payton, Magic Mountain only. You could do it in a tournament. He could put up a 50 burger. He also could give you like 15 fandom points, and he could just be worried about his hair. Reggie Jackson. I will jump on this tomorrow or on Friday. A lot of people will not. Many people will run away in fear. They will look at the game logs. They will see 9 FanDuel points the last game. Yes, he got benched. He was bad. Ish Smith was better. Ish Smith got lots of minutes. But the dude still has a 31% usage rate or around there. He's better than Ish Smith as long as he plays and gets minutes. Now, would I do it in cash? No, not a 9-game slate. I'm not crazy. But in tournaments, yeah, because, I mean, is he going to be less than 5%? The two things I look for in tournaments, I want less than 10% ownership, and I want someone who has upside to hit 6-7 times value. And could he give me 36-42 fandom points? Yes, he could. And Rubio, you look at his defensive, advanced stats for defense this year, he's not been as good defensively. So I like him as a tournament play. Dang it. I don't care what anyone says about it. D'Angelo Russell, playing pretty well. He's been. I'm worried about the blowout here. He's been over 40 the last two games, and he's got over 30 minutes, which is a really good sign because Luke Walton never likes to give anyone minutes. But tournaments only because I'm worried about the blowout. But Isaiah Thomas defense, as good as Isaiah's playing offensively, that's how bad he is defensively. He's 3'8" tall. He's tiny. So D'Angelo Russell should be able to, if he plays minutes and that game stays close, he should smash. Marcus Smart, yeah, you can do it. He could get you 25-30 if that game stays close. Just don't love the play on this slate. Patrick Beverley, I don't know how many games in a row now he's been just so mediocre. I mean, just 30 minutes and 20 FanDuel points, just lock and load. If that's good enough for you on this slate, then play him. If it's not, then fade him. Jordan Clarkson, he was one of the guys. I mentioned D'Angelo Russell not getting any shots in the fourth quarter. It was Lou Williams and Jordan Clarkson played really well, got some extended minutes, and he was a guy taking a lot of shots in the fourth quarter. So that was one reason why Russell wasn't getting shots, and that was just freaking annoying. Clarkson, though, whatever. The problem is, like, if it's a blowout, will Clarkson see extra minutes? Like, I don't even know. Like, I'm not sure he would get the minutes in a blowout, so you could take, if you played 10 lineups, you could put him in one, I guess. But the same price, give me Yogi. Hashtag Yogi is playing Portland. If you listen to me, you know Dame Lillard does. He's been bad offensively, but he doesn't play any defense. Neither does McCollum. No one on Portland does. That's why they stink and lose every game. So Yogi's in a really good spot. I mean, the last three games is only 3 games in the NBA. Because Rick Carlisle is a mad scientist. He's played 38, 38, and 36 minutes. if you give any NBA player that many minutes, he will stumble, bumble, and fumble, and crumble, and mumble into over 20 Vandal points. So Yogi is safe, I think, for all formats in this matchup. Now, does he have a massive upside? I don't think so. You know, do I envision him when I look in my crystal ball of being in the winning GPP lineup? I don't. But I think if he's going to get 38 minutes against Portland, he could be, and I think he's safe for all formats. Rondo, if you want to use him as a tournament dart, you can, because the Bulls are playing up in pace. If he plays, he leads that second unit now. If he plays well, he'll get 24 minutes, and he could give you 30, 35 Fando points. So he is an interesting tournament play. Jameer Nelson, opposite of Rondo, much safer play, especially because Denver, if Moutier's out again, Denver's got tons of guys out. Why did he only play 4 minutes last game? I know it's late in the morning, but I'm not imagining this. He didn't get hurt, did he? Did he get ejected? I don't remember now. How can I not know this? This is one of the bad things about doing a show when it's 5:07 a.m. in the morning. So now I have to figure out what the hell happened. Oh yeah, he was ejected. That's right, he was ejected in the first quarter. All right, so that's even better for this slate because he's old and he's little. He needs his rest. So now he gets the Bucks. They're playing down in pace, but Denver has no one to play, so he's going to play a ton of minutes. You know, it's a nice pivot. People are probably going to love Yogi because everyone loves it. Everyone loves the new trends. Everyone hates the old. I don't mind pivoting off of Yogi going to Jameer. Jameer's safe to me on this slate. Denver has no one else to play. He's safe for all formats as well. You know, and if you want to go Yogi and Jameer as your two point guards in cash games, quite honestly, you could probably do it on this slate. Then you could get Harden, you could get, you know, Butler, you get Towns or Cousins. So I do think it makes it's in play. It makes sense in some cases. Then if you really want to start digging around for bums, Brogdon, Collison. I mean, a lot people like to keep playing Collison. You know, whatever. To me, I only play him if Lawson's going to be out. You got Dellavedova still sitting there. I think he's still starting, and now Milwaukee's playing way up in pace. So is he like a really interesting pivot off of a Yogi Bear and Jameer Nelson? Somewhat. Jamal Murray, another guy to keep your eyes on. If Denver, all those guys for Denver are out, Jamal Murray, he's played the last three games over 20 Fando points. He's 3.8K. He's also a guy you could punt with and feel pretty good about it. And he's got massive upside. All right, shooting guard, James Harden. Oh, by the way, now whatever. I was going to mention something. Someone tweeted me, and then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to give that guy a platform. Shooting guard. James Harden, 12.2. Oh, I will say this, though. So I actually went on and read some of the reviews for the podcast, and some were actually pretty funny. So one guy was yelling at me for like smacking my lips for chewing gum too much and taking breaks to drink water or to drink something. First of all, you guys should try doing a podcast for like an hour or something. Your voice gets hoarse. Like, you need to drink. And since I'm the only one talking here, sometimes like I have to take breaks to drink. So there's nothing I can do for that. Also, while I think at one point, maybe last year, I did chew gum. Partly to keep me awake because I'm tired, man. It's over 5 in the freaking morning. But currently I'm not chewing gum. So if I'm smacking my lips like that, I'm not trying to. Maybe that's just like a natural thing I do. So I'm not trying to annoy everyone. But yeah, I thought that was funny. Anyway, James Harden, 12.2K. Like I said, same thing with Westbrook here. You don't have to do it. I do prefer him over Westbrook because the opportunity cost at shooting guard is a little bit greater because shooting guard is never as good a position. But on this slate, there's so many good, nice plays. There's so many value guys. You don't have to do Harden in cash. You don't have to do him in any format. If you want to do him, obviously you can. He's safe for any format. I'm intrigued to see what the Bulls do defensively against him and also what Houston does defensively against Jimmy Butler. I would think Jimmy Butler would be on James Harden. Wade's old. Wade's slow. Wade has no knees. Wade has no cartilage in those knees. So if Butler's on Harden, I Although I've seen people destroy Butler this year, I would think that makes Harden's life a little bit more difficult. And remember, it is a back-to-back for these guys. And when you're a jump-shooting team on a back-to-back, if your legs aren't there, I mean, we saw they couldn't shoot on Thursday. So, you know, now they're going to be on a back-to-back. So that's a little bit worrisome. So most of the Houston guys are going to be tournament plays only for me. And Houston's playing way down in pace. Giannis is now 10.9K, playing way up in pace against Denver. I don't know what's wrong with him because he hasn't been right now for a couple weeks, and he hasn't given you – he's had over 50 FanDuel points maybe one time in the last three and a half weeks, something like that. And he's been – he hasn't hit 60 FanDuel points in 2017. And we're over a month in 2017. So – and I can't in good conscience recommend to play him in cash games anymore. And his price – it was 9.9K a couple days ago. FanDuel jacked it up because it's up against Denver. So he's overpriced for this slate. Now, is he still a good tournament play? Because I want to get in a day early rather than a day late. And my goal is only to take down a tournament. Otherwise, why am I playing a tournament? So, yeah, he's fine for tournaments, way up in pace against Denver. But something's not right with him. I'm not sure if he's just tired or not as the Bucks get healthier. They're not going to him as much offensively. But the usage rate still seems to be okay. So tournaments only right now. CJ McCollum, 7.8K. I don't love this play at all. He's also going to probably get Wesley Matthews defense. Wesley Matthews also could I should have mentioned this as well. So the last time Portland, I think, played Dallas, when was that? I guess it was a while ago. December 21st. So McCollum only had 19 FanDuel points. Now, I don't remember that entire game. I want to see what Lillard did. But Wes Matthews, I know in the fourth quarter, especially late in the fourth quarter, Wes Matthews was on Lillard, and he made his life hell. Like, Lillard couldn't even get off a shot. So Lillard ended up with like 35 FanDuel points total for that game. McCollum struggled. I think Wes Matthews did start the game off on CJ McCollum. But Wesley Matthews is one of the best defenders in the NBA. So I don't like this matchup at all for CJ McCollum. D. Wade, 7.8K. I do like Wade. Now, I've heard different things, rumblings already that Beverly could start the game off on Wade. Beverly could even guard Butler. I don't care. Beverly's 5'7" tall. Yes, could Beverly make Wade's life a little bit miserable? Yeah, and is Wade a little bit expensive? He is. But Wade still has a great usage rate. And give me Wade over McCollum on this slate for cash games. And I do think Wade has a little bit of upside. As long as his usage rate still is that high, and this is the highest overrunner we've seen for the Bulls this year. I mean, Wade in his last game had 41 FanDuel points in 24 minutes. Now, he hasn't been the most efficient player, but he's had like he's had three games over 40 FanDuel points in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. So do I love him for cash? No. But I think on this slate, I think you can do it. I think he's an interesting tournament play. And you save, what, $4,000 from James Harden? Devin Booker, 6.9K. One trick pony. He does nothing but score, although he got 6 assists last game, which that's impressive. But he's going to get 20 actual points. He's done it, dear God, every game in 2017 except one. So, what, like 20 straight games? He had over 20 actual points. It might be a Phoenix record. I read or saw earlier. So, and you can attack Sacramento guards, but I'm not doing it in cash games. If you want to do it in tournaments, sure, go ahead. But the upside is somewhat limited because he does nothing except shoot, and he's expensive, and they're playing down in pace as well. Lou Williams, tournaments only. He's super expensive, 6.4K. Yeah. Seth Curry, wow. His price skyrocketed up. He's 6.3K. I mean, that's – I liked him at 4K. I liked him at 5K. I liked him at 5.6K, but 6.3K, yeah, that's going to be a tough one for me. I guess to me, at that price, there's just very limited upside. Yes, two of the last three games, he's been close to 40 FanDuel points. He's also getting close to 40 minutes. So he gets CJ McCollum defense, who doesn't play any defense. So if you want to do it, I guess. I mean, to me, I think there's some guys who are cheaper, who are better value plays, who I'd prefer to go in cash games. But if you want to use him in any format, I think you can. To me, he's a little expensive. But for tournaments, you can throw him in tournaments, and maybe he gets, if he can get you 40 again, that would be great. But that's going to be asking a lot. I mean, it's, after all, it's still Seth Curry. KCP is 6K. So he had a 50 burger. His price came up. To me, not a cash game play. You want to throw him in tournaments, go ahead. Part of the reason he went nuts because Reggie Jackson got benched. So I don't think Reggie Jackson's gonna get benched again. But he does get lots of minutes, and he's okay. I don't love that price tag for him though. Zach LaVine 6K. Don't even think about using Zach LaVine in cash games. It's Minnesota Detroit game. You could stack this game. It's somewhat interesting. A decent over under. It should stay close. So Zach LaVine does get a lot of minutes. One day he's gonna help us win a tournament soon. He's been just super bad lately. He's been, under 20 the last two games. Oladipo is 5.8K. Against Memphis, it's not the right day to unleash him, especially in cash games. Tournaments, sure. Eric Gordon, he cannot make a shot to save his freaking life. With that said, he takes a lot of shots. He gets a lot of shots. He will not stop shooting. So you can keep firing him up in tournaments. Wesley Matthews. If I have to choose between him and Seth Curry for cash games, give me Wes Matthews. I could save $1,000. They're probably both going to get similar minutes. Now, will Seth get more shots? Yeah, but for cash games, if that $1,000 really makes a difference between me getting Towns or not Towns, or Cousins or someone like that, I think Wes Matthews is fine for all formats. But he's more of a cash game guy. Norman Powell. And this is what I mean. As long as if DeMar is out, give me Norman Powell instead of Seth Curry. I mean, I can save, 1.3, 1.4K. Now, Powell's price has come up now, but 5.1K is still a fair price, I think, as long as DeMar is out. Gary Harris, 5.1K. To me, another guy, all those Denver guys are out on Friday, yes, he's been frustrating this year, but he's gonna. How can he not get over 30 minutes and give you stumble, bumble, and fumble into 25 Fanduel points? I just can't envision it happening. Who's gonna shoot for Denver? It's got to be Gary Harris. It's got to be Chandler. Remember, Gallinari's out too, so it's got to be guys like Jamal Murray. Yeah, so Gary Harris. I think he's a great play on this slate at that price. Evan Fournier, another guy. I mean, there's lots of really nice shooting guards who are just too cheap. Fournier is coming off that injury. He's underpriced right now. He's safe for all formats at that price. Last game he got us 19 Fanduel points, 30 minutes. If he gets us like 19-20, which I think is his floor, that probably won't kill your lineup, especially in like a cash game. And he has the upside to give you 35-40 Fanduel points. Then you got bums. You got LeVert, Nick Young, Tony Allen, Crab, Kilpatrick. On a 9-game slate, I don't think you need to shop for bums. You just don't need to do it. Jimmy Butler, small forward Jimmy Butler, 9.4K. He's almost a lock and load for me. He may be chalk on this play, and but I may not care. The Bulls, the best overrunner they've had all year. Wade does steal some of his thunder. If Wade gets it going, Butler will defer to Wade in some stretches, but besides the one disaster he had after he got benched that one game, he's been over 40 Fanduel points last four games, basically almost five games in a row, and the price is very fair, I like him for all formats. Scratch that, loved him for all formats. Paul George, 8.7K. He killed us last game. But before that, he was really good for like a week and a half or 2 weeks or so. So I'm going to kind of just pretend that last game against Orlando didn't happen when he had only 8 actual points and 16 Fanduel points. The good thing about that game, it allowed his price to drop $800. So 8.7K, very fair price. More importantly, now we get Brooklyn. Do I want to find a way to get Butler and Paul George into my cash game lineups at small forward? Yeah, and that's one reason why shooting guard, give me a Gary Harris and give me a Powell as long as DeMar DeRozan's out. That will allow me to get Butler and Paul George, and then I can move on. But there's also some really nice value plays at small forward as well. But it's very hard to envision how Butler and George don't hit value on the slate. It really is. Now in tournaments, those guys are both going to be chalk. So are they really nice guys to fade in tournaments? Absolutely. And that's the whole difference in mentality, right? You got to have a different head, a different mind, a different human, a different person clicking keys when you're building that tournament lineup, because you don't want to play the guys who are going to be 50, 60, 70% owned. Andrew Wiggins, 7.3K. He's a guy, if you want to, you know, in a tournament, you pivot off of Paul George or Jimmy Butler, you play Wiggins and hope he goes off. But do I want to use him in cash games? Hell no. He's Magic Mountain. Him and Levine, head of the line at Magic Mountain. They keep wanting me to go on every freaking ride. And I'm like, dude, I don't like roller coasters. Wiggins, get off me. Plus, you're too damn tall to go on these rides. Harrison Barnes, 6.6K. Harrison Barnes is just a nice, safe play for cash games. If you don't know what to do, if you're struggling, you're nervous, your wife's yelling at you, your dog's barking at you, just play some Harrison Barnes, listen to some jazz or whatever music you like that soothes you, and move on. Nice matchup for him. I don't know if he has the upside for tournaments, but cash games, I know I like him. And if he gets hot, he could get you 40, I think. Jay Crowder. So he's now 6.5K, and he's the same price as Harrison Barnes. I would just prefer Harrison Barnes because Harrison Barnes has a much higher usage rate. And I'm worried about a blowout here with Boston Lakers. So normally I like Crowder, but now he's getting super expensive. If you want to use Crowder, you can still use him in cash. I think he's still going to do okay. But I'd prefer Barnes in a game that's going to be close where I know Barnes' usage rate is, what, 6 percentage points higher than Crowder? Wilson Chandler. So Wilson Chandler wants to be traded now, but Denver has no one else to score. So Wilson Chandler should start. He should shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. He put up 50 against the Lakers 2 games ago. He's won me lots of money this year. He's also lost me lots of money. So it's hard to recommend him in cash games. But if all those guys for Denver are out, how in the world could he not give you 30? He's going to get 20 shots. He's going to play 32 minutes, 35 minutes. So I like Chandler for all formats on this slate. Trevor Ariza, tournaments only. Dear God, tournaments only. Make a shot, dude. You're wide open. Frick. Marcus Morris, 5.1K. Unlike Markieff, Marcus had a nice little stretch. Last 4 games, he's been bad. So I don't want to do it on this slate. Aaron Gordon. So Gordon's been bad too. The good news is the price is down. So, wow, he's been disgusting. Last 4 games, under 20. The minutes have been under 30. So don't love it. But tournaments, hell yeah. He does have 40 FanDuel point upside. So for tournaments, that's a guy. He could be what? 8% owned on this slate? Something like that? So Aaron Gordon, tournaments. Then you got Evan Turner. You got PJ Tucker. Ronnie Hollis Jefferson is an interesting play. He started last game out. If he starts, and he got 30 minutes against the Knicks, if he starts at that price, Indiana, not good defensively. They actually started Booker at the 4 last game, Brooklyn did. So if he starts at the 4 and he gets that young defense, I don't mind that at all. Now, it's still somewhat risky for cash games because it's a 9-game slate and you don't have to force it. But I'll use a lot of him if he's starting. Bum Donovich also down there. Luol Deng, Shabazz Muhammad. Muhammad's been good. He's getting extra minutes from Minnesota. 28 FanDuel points last game out. So Shabazz in tournaments is interesting. CJ Miles, Damari Carroll. Or is it Damari Carroll? Now I'm confused. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Man, it is getting late. We got to wrap this show up. Either way, Carroll, interesting at 4K, man, dirt cheap. Hasn't looked right this year. Got 38 minutes last game, though, 37 the game before that. I mean, man, not taking advantage of those minutes some games, but 4K, that's so cheap. TJ Warren is now down to 4K. I mean, there's a lot of bums down here. I mean, you got Glenn Robinson in the dunk contest this year. Wow. Jaylen Brown, 3.7K is starting. Andre Roberson's 3.6K. I mean, there are some bums if you want to go digging. All right, power forward. Jabari Parker, 7.4K, and he gets Denver. You can attack Denver bigs, especially Jokic is out now. Fareed, one reason why Fareed never plays big minutes whenever they're healthy is because he's defensively, he just doesn't – he's not a good on-ball defender. He's good off-ball. He gets to get you offensive and defensive rebounds. He can fly around the court to get you, get some blocks. But if you try to watch him like actually play one-on-one defense, he's not really disciplined. But Parker hasn't been great lately, and he's expensive. So I don't think you need to play Parker for cash games. I don't mind him for tournaments, though, because – you hope one day. You hope that him and Giannis went to like a little meditation retreat and just could get their heads together because the Bucks are in a good spot playing way up in pace. Same game, Kenneth Fareed, 6.9K. The problem here is he's super expensive. I would never do it in cash games, but with all those Denver guys out, I think they're all in play in tournaments. Again, I think he should play him and stupid Darrell Arthur should both be in line for lots of minutes. Now, Darrell Arthur is 3.7K, and he's going to probably get decent run in this game, I would think. So maybe he's an interesting play. But Freed's going to be tournaments only, and Arthur will probably be tournaments only too. Julius Randle, 6.3K, hell to the no. I don't know. I mean, he played 6 minutes on Luke Walton. Why play him at – why did he play at all against Washington? It made no sense. It's so stupid. What the hell was, I don't know if you guys saw that or not, but like even before the game, they're like, yeah, he's going to play, but he's going to be super limited. Well, then why play him at all if he's going to be super limited? It just makes no sense. So if he's finally healthy, because he's dealing with pneumonia, if he's healthier on against Boston, you can play him in tournaments. You know, if that game stays close, maybe he can go nuts and then he eats at a buffet. Zach Randolph, I don't love this play, although down low without well, Cantor doesn't play defense anyway. But, I mean, Sabonis guarding him, I'm not sure. I mean, besides Adams, they don't have anyone else to play defense, any big guys. So you could do Randolph if you wanted to. I'm not a big fan, though. Too expensive still. Power forward I don't actually love. Power forward actually is pretty disgusting. Even though it's a 9-game slate, I'm like already starting to shiver with some of these guys. Serge Ibaka, I mean, man, like normally not a cash game guy. He's been good the last two games. The price is fair. He is going to get a lot of minutes. So, wow, are we going to really have to go Serge Ibaka in cash games on this slate? Ugh. I mean, let's hold off on that for now, but maybe. Tobias Harris, it's just a struggle right now saying these guys' names. He was actually good against the Pelicans last game out at 36 Fanduel points. I'm still not going to touch him in cash games. In tournaments, though, sure. I do like this Minnesota-Detroit game. And, like, Minnesota defensively is doing some weird things. Gorgui Dieng has been benched a lot of games lately. They are going small because Dieng is giving them nothing offensively. And if he's not going to play defense, then you can just play Shabazz Muhammad. So I don't know. Tobias could have a nice game here in tournaments. Dirk Nowitzki. I mean, honestly, I may freaking use this guy in cash. He's 5.5K, very fair price. It's not a back-to-back. He's going to play 26, 28 minutes, and he should stumble and bumble between 20 and 30 Fanduel points. And point guard is so disgusting for cash games. That's what I'm looking for right now. And Portland is one of the worst teams in the history of humankind guarding power forwards. Gorgui Dieng, I can't use him in cash anymore because the minutes are now an issue. Everything's an issue. I'm afraid he's asleep on the court. I don't know if he's awake half the time. So no thank you for cash games. Tournaments, sure, I guess. Thaddeus Young. Maybe we go Thaddeus Young in cash games. He's been consistent the last few games, giving you 20 to 25 Fanduel points. And that's what we need from him. And now he gets Brooklyn. It's also a revenge game. He was on Brooklyn last year. So safe for all formats. Yeah, I mean, could I see myself going Thaddeus Young and Dirk in a cash game? Maybe. I mean, like, would that probably win a GPP? Probably not. But for cash games, I mean, they're, I think they're both safe plays. And Thad Young does have upside, too. So I think he's fine for tournaments as well. Ryan Anderson, tournaments only. Then you got bums. You got Booker, Taj Gibson. I mean, Taj Gibson is 4.8K. He just doesn't get minutes. He can never get 30 minutes anymore. Playing way up in pace. Should he get some extra rebounds? Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's the worst play in the world to do. It's just I don't trust it. And, you know, I'd rather Thad Young is safer in minutes, so I'd prefer Thad Young to Taj Gibson. John Lures down there, Jamichael Green, Montrezl Harrell. You got hashtag Noghead. I mean, Valanciunas, Dwayne Casey's probably going to murder Valanciunas soon, so he can give Noghead and Jared Sullinger some more minutes. I do like Patrick Patterson. I mean, he's a guy probably going to stumble, bumble between 15 and 25 FanDuel points, and he's 3.9K. So playing Patrick Patterson allows you to get a few more stars. It makes sense to me. Marquise Chris, tournaments only, but last game he had told you, he got 15 shots, and he put up 24 FanDuel points, and he only made, you know, he was shot three for 15. So if he would have made some shots, that's two games in a row now where he's been 24 and 30 FanDuel points. If Phoenix is going to start giving him more minutes, take advantage. So I will be using him in some tournaments. Yeah, I absolutely will. Then you got Thon Maker. So the Bucks have another big guy. I forgot to mention he's been playing like he played 24 minutes last game. So the Bucks have like 17 big men. Jason Kidd, what a jerk. Then you got Gravy Juice Sullinger. I mean, that's about it. All right, center. So you got Cousins and Towns, both elite plays, elite spots on a site like DraftKings. Man, where you can play two centers, I'll play them both. I love both these guys. Tyson Chandler is a disgustingly bad defender. People think he's been having a good year. No, not defensively, he hasn't. He just, like, his numbers are inflated because Phoenix gets so many extra possessions. So he gets so many just lazy rebounds, lazy alley-oop dunks, lazy putbacks off bricks from Bledsoe and Booker and Warren. Cousins should be able to absolutely obliterate these guys. And now, coming off some rest, they're on a long road trip for like six, seven games. So I love him. I also love Towns, though, because Towns is playing Drummond. I love attacking Drummond. There's nothing more fun in the world than attacking a guy who's sleeping. It's basically just free points. I'm trying to see if these two teams play this year yet. Doesn't look like they have. But there's no way in the world that Drummond can defend Towns. So on a site like DraftKings, play them both. On FanDuel, if you have to choose, I would play one lineup of each just to cover my bases because I love those. I love both matchups. If my life depended on it, I mean, I guess I would go Cousins slightly just because the pace of that game is going to be so much. I mean, Cousins getting so many extra possessions. And he is obviously the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth option on that team. Marc Gasol, 8.7K. I don't mind it, although here we have two really good defensive centers. You got Gasol and Adams. So I don't love the Gasol play. Andre Drummond, 8.5K. As much as I love Towns, I also like Drummond because if Drummond can stay awake, Towns is a bad defender. I don't think Gorgui Dieng is big enough to guard Drummond, although I could see them starting the game off Dieng on Drummond. Sometimes Dieng does take the opposing team center. Either way, Drummond's too big. He has been playing a little bit better. The last game against the Pelicans, he sucked. But before that, he had a 66 and 52. He does have a massive upside. So is he a cash game guy for me? Probably not. But tournaments, absolutely. Al Horford, just because it's the Lakers, you can do it in tournaments. But I wouldn't do it in cash, potential blowout. Vucevic, folks, Vucevic's had some good games. The price has come up. He's now 7.2K. He's been relatively safe. People don't like to play guys off the bench, so no one played Vucevic. Now that he's starting, people are starting to play Vucevic. He's been the same guy. I don't love it on this slate. There's lots of centers, so you can do it in a tournament if you want. Mason Plumlee, Wow, 7.2K. I mean, Dallas cannot rebound at all. But Plumlee, man, that price on this slate, I don't want to do that. Brook Lopez, 7.2K. Yeah, I mean, not really. Not feeling it. He's been really bad lately. Cost me a lot of money. I played him against the Knicks a couple days ago. Tournaments, all the, you know, Vucevic, Plumlee, Lopez, all tournament guys. Miles Turner, 6.7K. He gets Brooklyn. So he gets Brook Lopez. Elite spot. I mean, Brook Lopez cannot move his feet laterally. He can't rebound just period. Last time these two teams played, Turner put up 55 FanDuel points, 25 rebounds, 15 points, 5 assists. No, that's 5 blocks, sorry, and 1 steal. So Miles Turner, he's pretty much safe for any format you want on this slate. If you don't want to use him in cash, I get it because he has been volatile. But, yeah, I mean, he should be able to smash value. Love the play. Steven Adams, tournaments only. He gets Marc Gasol defense, so that's not an easy task. It's an interesting tournament play. If you throw him in there, you hope that game stays close. Hope he gets a lot of minutes and hope Westbrook bricks a lot of shots. He can get some more rebounds. But that's tough matchup for sure. Greg Monroe, I don't know who the hell is going to play for the Bucks. You know, Monroe's a tournament play only, though, either way. Valanciunas, he's a good tournament play on this slate because everyone – he was actually pretty – he was like 25% owned, and for him that's pretty high last time out when he murdered us all in the first 2 minutes of that game. Played 12 minutes, had 4 fouls, and quicker than you could say Valanciunas, only 8 FanDuel points. But before that, he was really consistent. And even if he does, even if Casey only gives him 26, 28, 30 minutes, he's going to get you close to 30 FanDuel points. Now he gets Vucevic defense. Vucevic and Drummond are the two worst defensive centers in the NBA to me. So to me, I will absolutely be using a lot of him again. And I hope everyone's scared off and no one plays him. And I will be laughing at the end of the night with some money or crying with some whiskey. Either way, good night. It's a good ending to the night. Tyson Chandler, 5.5K. Whatever. If you want to use him against Cousins, go ahead. I probably will not be. Clint Capella, he's in a good spot, 4.9K. He's the one guy for Houston besides Harden who played well. He had 37 FanDuel points on Thursday. The back-to-back is a little bit of a concern. But the Bulls, they can't defend. They cannot defend down low. Robin Lopez is like his brother. He's big and slow. Doesn't move well. Capella should be able to get some easy buckets in the pick and roll, easy offensive rebounds. He should be able to beat Lopez up and down the floor just for fast break points. So I do like Capella for any format you want, as long as he's starting again. Same game, Robin Lopez. If you want to pivot off of Capella, play one lineup with Lopez. Capella is not a great defender. If Lopez could get some extra minutes, the problem is I envision the Bulls basically going small, Lopez not getting a ton of minutes. Don't love it. But if he could just somehow stay on the court, he's so dirt cheap. Even if he gets 20 minutes, I think he's going to get close to hitting value. So I don't mind it, man, 4.6K. I may have to wait too many Bulls. I'm not a fan of playing the Bulls besides Butler, a little bit of Wade. But this may be a night to just take advantage of the Bulls, playing way up in pace. And that's about it for center. I'm not playing Salah Mejri. I know Salah Mejri went off last game. A lot of you guys tweeted me about it. He's 4K. There, I mentioned him. He had 39 FanDuel points in 21 minutes. So if you want to use him in a tournament dart, go ahead. All right, that's it. That's the slate. Fun game, fun slate. 9 games. Also, it's Friday, so you made it to the weekend. Congrats. Any questions, tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. With that, dear God, it's late. I got to get to bed. Woo. All right, for me and the bailiff, court is adjourned.